Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
A special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Wow, you know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
It is 7:06.
Don't you love coming early?
On a Thursday.
I really like this early stuff.
What is going on here? Am I in the Twilight Zone?
We are in for the download, Justin Kaufman, tonight, and we feel thankful for that.
Yeah. You know what else I'm thankful for?
Me.
Yes, you. And I'm thankful to all of our listeners. And I'm thankful to WGN programming and staff who asked us to be on the air on a Thanksgiving evening to play some Thanksgiving classic radio shows. What a privilege and a treat. And
I agree.
Speaking of treats, what did you bring me? Anything?
I brought you a bottle of water.
Well, that's good.
That was pretty good. What'd you bring for me?
I brought you a bottle of water.
Oh, then we're even.
We're on the same page. you know what? We have some great classic radio shows. We're on till 9 p.m., and we have two wonderful Thanksgiving shows. People have probably eaten their Thanksgiving dinner, and they're just with their family, and hopefully they have the radio on and are going to listen to a good comedy on The Great Gildersleeve, a Thanksgiving show from 1951. And then after that, one of the best radio episodes of suspense ever broadcast was a story written by Ray Bradbury and starring Margaret O'Brien from 1948, a Thanksgiving show called The Screaming Woman. We have both episodes for you throughout the night. We'll be here till 9 p.m., I should say. And it is brought to you by many of our sponsors, including Cat's Pride. But you know what, Lisa? Before we get into our first show, I do want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line. And this makes Lisa very happy, doesn't she?
I've got it right in front of me, and I know how to read, so I can read it aloud for Carl because he's not really good at that.
Yeah.
So I can read aloud.
Is that because
and
I don't
can
read?
Probably.
Yeah.
And we do appreciate the feedback, the comments, the suggestions. We also have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. Make sure to like us, and you can check out our schedule there, and you can check out photos from each of the radio shows there as well.
Yep, and our text in line is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Please text us. Our regular time that we're on the air, folks, is Saturday and Sunday nights. Lisa and I are here for 3 hours on Saturday from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. And also Sunday nights at that same time, 11 p.m. until 2 a.m., we do six classic radio shows, all the great radio shows that aired during the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. The Shadow, Jack Benny, The Whistler, Suspense, Inner Sanctum. We have all of these great radio shows for you Saturday and Sunday nights. And our website is WGNRadioTheater.com. All right, we're going to go to a few spots. We'll come back and we'll play The Great Gildersleeve. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Well, Lisa, how was your Thanksgiving so far?
I mean, it was good.
Did you have any turkey at all?
I don't eat turkey.
I know, but did you smell it at least?
I smelled it. I gave it to my dog.
What did you eat on Thanksgiving?
I had a veggie burger.
A veggie burger.
And I had sweet potatoes and cranberries.
Right. I ate like there was no tomorrow. I made sure that I ate today because there could be a no tomorrow.
Right,
I was by my
possible
sister Carlene's house. My mom was there, and I ate so much food that I just plopped myself in the chair here.
Yeah. And well, I'll try to keep you awake. No siestas between 7
took
and 9
tonight.
Took a
little siesta
tonight
before I came out here. You know, speaking of turkey and Thanksgiving, did you know that when our pilgrims came here, Lisa, and settled down at Plymouth Rock, and they were deciding what they were going to have as the bird that we were all going to eat for Thanksgiving every year? Did you know it was not going to be a turkey originally?
I really wouldn't know this.
Well, my good pal Stan Freeberg will explain it to you right now.
Okay.
Needless to say, the luncheon there under the trees was a great success, and a good time was had by Puritans and Indian alike. Everything came off beautifully, with the exception of one minor catastrophe.
What do you mean you cooked the turkey, Charlie?
Well, I cooked the turkey, that's all.
You put our national bird in the oven, is that correct?
Yeah, well, I...
And all of us had our mouth set for roast eagle with all the trimming.
Yeah, well, I...
You did a thing like that?
Well, the two birds were lying there side by side.
The turkey was for the centerpiece, Charlie. I mean...
Well, they look so much alike
we blew it now. They're all sitting down at the table out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Started on their little nut cups. Already. We just have to switch the birds, that's all.
Yeah, well...
Serve them turkey instead of eagle. But it's kind of scrawny looking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd stuff some old bread in it and make it look a little fatter.
You do that, okay?
Okay.
There you go, Lisa. That's why everybody eats turkey, except for you.
I got
it. On Thanksgiving.
I got it. Well, everybody, most people do. I'm next to normal, as I call it.
At least according to Stan Freeberg.
Right.
All right. Well, are you ready for some comedy? You want some Thanksgiving comedy?
Yes, I do. How about Great Gildy?
Yeah, you know, my brother, I saw my brother today, and you know, he doesn't like the Great Gildersleeve.
I know.
And he may be the only person who doesn't like the Great Gildersleeve.
I hope so.
And here's why he doesn't like the Great Gildersleeve. Because Hal Perry, who originated the role, had that laugh, hey, Leroy.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that laugh. It like grates on his nerves. I found this out today. And so I explained to him that in 1950, Hal Perry left to do another show, and they brought in a different actor to play Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve on The Great Gildersleeve. His name was Willard Waterman.
Right.
And he never did that kooky laugh.
Oh, so he's
so
open to that?
He is standing by. He's at home right now. He's listening to the show, and he said, I'll give it a chance.
All right.
He's going to listen to The Great Gildersleeve because this has Willard Waterman. Does not have Hal Perry.
So this is for Vince.
This is a Thanksgiving show, November 21st, 1951. Here's part one now of The Great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as The Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Kraft, you know, makes Philadelphia brand cream cheese. The cream cheese that's been famous for quality since 1880. Delicious, creamy white Philadelphia brand is so popular, it outsells all other brands of cream cheese combined. Enjoy it often. Just be sure you get genuine Philadelphia brand when you buy. Look for the red Kraft K on the silvery package. Remember, there's only one Philadelphia brand cream cheese, and it's made by Kraft and guaranteed fresh. Well, it's the evening before Thanksgiving, and Summerfield, like many other places, is blanketed with snow. The Great Gildersleeve walked home through it as part of his training for his bout with old Tom Turkey tomorrow. And we might add that the water commissioner is in the pink of condition.
Hello, everybody. I'm home.
Oh, hello, Unky.
Well, Marjorie. Say, that's a tantalizing aroma coming from the kitchen.
Uh-huh. Bertie's cooking the turkey for tomorrow.
Good. I think I'll go back and take a look at it.
Now, Unky, don't start sampling it tonight.
No, I won't. That turkey isn't going to get the best of me this time. In fact, I plan to eat light meat. Hello, Bertie.
Evening, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hi, Unc.
Leroy, what are you doing over there by the oven?
Me? Leroy's watching the turkey, and I'm watching Leroy.
It's a good idea.
Unky's here now, Bertie. You better double the watch.
Yes, ma'am. Everybody stand back now. Bertie's going to baste it.
Unc, we got a 24-pound turkey.
Say, isn't he a whopper?
24 pounds and five of us to eat it. Oh, boy, that's nearly 5 pounds apiece.
Bronco and I may not be here for dinner, Unky. He's trying to get tickets for the football game tomorrow in Center City.
Oh, that's too bad. We'll miss you, my dear.
Well, you know how Bronco is about a football game.
Yeah. But with such a big dinner, we ought to invite somebody to share it with us. Leroy, there's a pretty little girl staying at Mr. Bullard's.
You mean invite Babs?
Yeah, why not?
Yes, why not? The pretty little girl has a pretty mother, Unky.
Well, naturally, if we invite Babs, we should invite her mother. Come along, Leroy. Let's slip on our overshoes.
Gee, it's keen having snow on Thanksgiving, Unc.
Yeah, makes things pretty cozy. Right, George, I'm glad I thought about asking Paula and Babs over.
What if Mr. Bullard won't let them come?
No, Leroy, Mr. Bullard doesn't boss everything. It's none of his business if his sister wants to spend Thanksgiving with friends.
Since when has Mr. Bullard considered you a friend?
My boy, it's Thanksgiving. It's the time when we should all be friends.
Okay. While you ring your friend's doorbell, I'll cover you with a snowball from behind this tree.
Careful, Leroy.
You sure make a good target against that porch light, Unc.
No, Leroy.
Turn sideways and I'll knock the ashes off your cigar.
Leroy, watch it. Oop, here it comes. Yover. Bullard's window.
Run for it, Unc!
Leroy, you shouldn't run.
What's going on out there?
Guess I'd better run.
What are you kids... Oh, it's you, Gildersleeve. A big, fat kid.
Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Gildersleeve, did you break my window?
No, but I'll gladly pay for it. Leroy was aiming at me and missed, but I'll pay for it.
If he'll aim again at you and hit, I'll pay for it.
Now, Mr. Bullard, I'm sorry it happened. It was an accident.
Fortunately, it's just a pane out of the storm window. Gildersleeve, why did you come over in the first place?
Well, I came over to see if I couldn't take your sister and little Babs off your hands for Thanksgiving.
They're spending the holiday out of town.
They are? I didn't know Paula was planning a trip.
Should you have been consulted?
Well, no, not necessarily. But she might have said goodbye. Well,
now that you mention it, she did leave a message for you.
You? What was it?
She said goodbye. So, goodbye.
You wait a minute. Mr. Bullard.
If you don't mind, I'll talk to you through the peephole. It's cold out there.
Well, about the broken window. You shouldn't pay for the pain.
Gildersleeve, I've been paying for a pain ever since you moved across the street.
Even on Thanksgiving, he's a hard man to like.
You mean I really don't have to pay for breaking his window?
No, Leroy.
You could take it out of my allowance. Say, a nickel a week? Every other week?
No, I'll take care of it, my boy.
Thanks, Unc. You're swell. I'm going up now and take my bath without even being sent.
Good boy. Yeah, I shouldn't have gone over to Bullard's anyway. He'll never set foot on his porch again. Yeah. Guess I will have to go over and pay him. Someday. Yeah, I'll put the money on a stick and poke it through the peephole so he can't bite my hand.
Miss Gildersleeve.
Yes, Bertie.
Will Mr. Bullard's sister and little Babs be here for dinner tomorrow?
No, they're out of town, Bertie. Unless Mr. Bullard has them locked up in the attic.
Yes, sir. You're fooling, ain't you?
Yes, I guess so.
Bertie already put their names in the pot. Too bad they can't be here. If Miss Marjorie and Mr. Bronco go to that football game, we're going to have more dinner than we know what to do with.
Well, Leroy and I will do our best by it.
Oh, I'm counting on you and Leroy to eat double. But we're loaded. Of course, a lot of people ain't going to have a big Thanksgiving.
Well, true, Bertie.
A lot of people just going to squeak by.
We're pretty lucky, Bertie.
Yes, sir. I've been thinking about that while I was basting that big turkey, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes, Bertie?
You remember the little boy that wandered in here from the children's home last Halloween?
Oh, Mike Smith.
That's right. The little lost ghost.
Cute kid. Say, I wonder what kind of Thanksgiving dinner he's going to have.
Oh, he'll have a good dinner, but he may not have as much as we've got.
Bertie, after church in the morning, why don't I drive over and pick up little Mike?
Yes, sir. Now we're lining up a real Thanksgiving.
Yeah, come to think of it, Thanksgiving is no good if you don't share it.
That's what the Indians did. On the first Thanksgiving, they had a lot of food, and they shared it with the pilgrims.
Well, the Indians have nothing on the water, Commissioner. The little pilgrim will be the guest of Big Chief Running Water.
Yes, sir. I'll get it! Good evening, Judge.
Evening, Birdie.
Well, Judge, come in.
Hello, Gildy. I didn't want to be late for Thanksgiving dinner, so I thought I'd come and spend the night.
Well, we'd love to have you, Horace. But you told me you had an engagement.
As a matter of fact, I have. So I dropped by to bring a little sweetmeat for your festive board tomorrow.
Oh?
Here you are, Birdie.
Thank you, Judge. What's in this jar?
It's cranberry relish that I prepare myself.
You make cranberry relish, Judge?
Yes, indeed.
I didn't know you so handy around the kitchen.
Well, Birdie, I spend most of my idle hours on culinary experiments. I'm writing a cookbook.
Yover.
I think it's nice the judge is so handy in the kitchen.
Thank you, Birdie.
Yes, sir. The judge is a handy man. He spends his working hours with the law book and his idle hours with the cookbook.
That's about it, Birdie.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gillsleeve, that's why the judge can come up with cranberry relish. He spends his working hours with the law book and his idle hours with the cookbook.
Yeah, I know, Birdie.
Mr. Gillsleeve, you know why the judge can come up with cranberry relish?
Yes, Birdie.
That's right. He spends his working hours with the law book and his idle hours with the cookbook.
Judge. You have quite an admirer in Birdie.
Well, the feeling is mutual, Gildy. I'm sorry I won't be here to sample Birdie's Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, Marjorie and Bronco may not be here either. But I'm inviting little Mike from the children's home.
Ah, oh, the little fellow who was lost on Halloween.
Yeah, Mike's going to be our guest of honor.
Gildy, you're a shining example of the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Well, that's not all I planned to do. I went over to invite Mrs. Winthrop and Babs, but old Bullard said they were out of town.
Oh, so Rumson is spending Thanksgiving alone?
I didn't ask him, Judge. I don't care where he spends it.
Well, I know Rumson Bullard is difficult at times, but he's a lonely man.
I think he wants to be alone.
I'm not so sure, Gildy. Perhaps we just don't understand him.
I know I don't.
Be that as it may, at a time when the peoples of the world are divided, suspicious, and working at cross purposes, it seems the least we can do is set an example of amity and accord here at home.
Well,
chances are the world could achieve more harmony around the Thanksgiving table than around the conference table.
You're probably right, Judge. I hadn't looked at it that way. Right, George, I'll invite Bullard tomorrow. Well, it's nice of you to join us for dinner today, Mike.
It's nice of you to invite me, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You will have a lot of fun. Yeah, I didn't think to ask Mrs. Foster when I should bring you home.
Just take me back when I'm good and full.
Yeah, there's plenty to eat, all right. Birdie has a turkey almost as big as you are.
I don't know if I can eat that much.
Well, I'll help you.
You ought to be a big help.
I wonder how he meant that.
A lot of us kids are going out for dinner today.
Yeah, good.
Boy, I like Thanksgiving. How many times a year does it come?
Well, only once, Mike. But Christmas will be here soon.
Yeah, that's when Santa Claus comes.
Yeah, I'll bet you get a lot of presents.
Yeah, Bobby's even getting a mother and father for Christmas.
Who? Who's Bobby?
He's my friend.
Yeah, I see. Well, here we are. Remember this house?
This is where you found me when I got lost.
That's right.
I sure was dopey to get lost.
Well, if you had to get lost, we're glad you picked our house.
Thank you.
Oh, before we go in, Mike, let's go across the street and ask someone else to dinner.
Okay.
I'm going to invite the man who lives in this big house. He's all alone today.
With that big house, why is he all alone?
Well, Mike, you know how it is.
Do I?
Well, this man's a little difficult to understand. It seems he hasn't many friends.
Why?
Well, sometimes he isn't as nice to people as he could be. But we're going to be nice to him. You see, I feel sorry for Mr. Bullard.
Is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Oh, it's you, Gildersleeve.
Good morning, Mr. Bullard. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Mr. Bullard, I'd like you to meet a little friend of mine, Mike Smith.
How do you do, young man?
Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Little Mike's from the children's home. He's having dinner with us.
Yeah, turkey.
Oh, splendid. I hope you enjoy your dinner, Mike.
Mr. Bullard?
Yes?
I'd like you to join us, if you will.
Me? Well, that's very thoughtful of you.
Well, Mr. Bullard, it's Thanksgiving, and you're all alone.
Yeah, and Mr. Gildersleeve says you don't have very many friends.
Oh?
What I meant was...
For your information, Gildersleeve, I have countless friends. I'm having dinner today at my club.
Yeah, Mr. Bullard, let's not have another misunderstanding. I really wish you'd come with us.
Yeah, Mr. Gildersleeve feels sorry for you.
Oh, is that so? Gildersleeve, I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me. You enjoy your dinner, and I'll enjoy mine. Good day.
Mike, what are you going to do with a fellow like that?
Mrs. Foster would send him to bed without any dinner.
That's not a bad idea.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute.
I don't have to say it now. He said it for me.
You've got nothing left to do.
Because he will be back in just a minute or so here.
And so will we.
We are we're listening to The Great Gildersleeve from November 21st, 1951, a good Thanksgiving show starring Willard Waterman as Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, sponsored by Kraft, is heard on NBC. Hope you're enjoying it. This is a special edition of the WGN Radio Theater, broadcasting on Thanksgiving Day, November 23rd. This is program 235 in the series. And we have a quick break, then it's more of the WGN Radio Theater, so stick around.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Ryan, and happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend. Lisa, I got to tell you, we're enjoying a Gildersleeve Thanksgiving show, and we'll get back to it in a minute. But I first have to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Uh-oh. He's setting me up here.
Why did the turkey cross the road?
I'm going to have to let you answer this one.
Because it was Thanksgiving, and he wanted everyone to think he was a chicken. Yeah, that makes sense, right?
Great one.
Poor turkeys. They have it tough around this time of year.
That's why I didn't eat
them. You know?
Yeah, poor guy.
I got to tell you, the turkey that my sister had, that thing was, whew, that was one juicy turkey, let me tell you.
Good. That's great.
Yeah, I want to remind all of our listeners that we have a very special website. If you like these classic radio shows, if you want to listen to shows at times that we're not on the air, there's thousands of classic radio shows available at a special website. It's classicradiostore.com, classicradiostore.com. Check that out. We're always adding more shows there, all your favorites available, the suspense stories and westerns and comedies and detective and mysteries. At classicradiostore.com, that is one of our websites, and we have a website for this show too, wgnradiotheater.com. A lot of people have been texting in asking us what we're playing this weekend on the show.
Yeah, and it is posted on our Facebook page, so I'd have to check it out the same way. But
I actually know
what
it is.
Right there.
Have it right here.
Great.
So this Saturday we're going to tune in to The Adventures of Sam Spade, detective starring Howard Duff. In fact, our fun fact is about Howard Duff this year. You can
this week.
You could check it out. Then we have my mother's favorite radio show, Life with Luigi, from 1949. Then it's Escape, Good Mystery, from 1954. On Sunday, a sci-fi adventure of Dimension X. Then it's Suspense and Lum and Abner. A lot of people have been asking for Lum and Abner. We have a half-hour episode for you this Sunday. So make sure you mark your calendar. Lisa and I are here every Saturday and Sunday from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. playing all your favorite classic radio shows. Right, Lisa?
Yep, and we have some other segments on the weekends that we are not doing tonight. So we've got call-ins and contests and all sorts of good stuff. So we hope that you'll listen in.
Speaking of that, Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, our main sponsor, will be in on Sunday to give one of our lucky winners another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is a great, great prize. Now, folks, all you have to do to enter, you can still enter for this Sunday, just take a picture of your kitty cat, and if you want to be in the picture, that's great, too, and text it to us here.
No, email it.
I'm sorry, email it to
email
us.
It
did
to,
I say text?
You did. You want to email it to catspridephoto@gmail.com.
I was trying to be more technical. You know, text
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's just no, doesn't you have sit to, well
you
with
you. You have to email it in.
Yeah, catspridephoto@gmail.com. Send a picture of your cat, any cat. We'd love to get it, and one lucky winner will get a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is
if
the best on the market.
We take all of the emails, we put it in a hat. Dan draws one lucky winner the last Sunday of every month. So,
and we do it live here on the show so you can watch it, you can listen to it, and be a part of it.
Right. We also need your name and your city and state and your cat's name, too.
Yep.
So do take a picture of your kitty cat. Send it in to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And that'll be this Sunday. Dan Jaffe will be here. All right. You ready for more of The Great Gildersleeve?
Definitely.
Okay. Let's go back to November 21st. 1951, Willard Waterman stars. Good Thanksgiving edition. Here's the conclusion of The Great Gildersleeve.
Want to make luscious, rich frostings and smooth, perfect fudge every time? Fudge and frostings that are bound to be perfect, that need no cooking? You can do it a brand new way, a way you probably never thought of. You do it with Philadelphia brand cream cheese. That's right. Philadelphia brand cream cheese is the magic ingredient that makes fudge and frosting more delicious, more consistently perfect than ever before. Have a pencil and paper handy, and in just a minute I'll tell you where to write for your free pamphlet with more than 20 easy recipes for making wonderful fudge and frostings with Philadelphia brand cream cheese. Now, maybe you're thinking that fudge and frosting made with cream cheese would have a cheese flavor, but they don't. Wonderful Philadelphia brand cream cheese gives you fudge and frosting with a perfect, delicate, rich taste because Philadelphia cream cheese is made with fine milk and thick cream. This fudge and frosting has a special freshness, too, because Philadelphia brand cream cheese is guaranteed fresh by Kraft. And Philadelphia brand gives fudge and frosting a truly marvelous texture, never grainy, never too hard, never too soft, but always smooth. Just be sure you use genuine Philadelphia brand cream cheese. Look for the red Kraft K that's on every silvery package of genuine Philadelphia brand. Remember, genuine Philadelphia brand cream cheese is made only by Kraft. Now, to get your free pamphlet with more than 20 easy recipes for Philly fudge and frostings, simply drop a postcard to Kraft Kitchen, Box 6567, Department G, Chicago 77, Illinois. That address again, Kraft Kitchen, Box 6567, Department G, Chicago 77, Illinois. Write tonight. Well, the great Gildersleeve has caught the Thanksgiving spirit. He invited little Mike from the children's home. He even invited Big Bad Bullard to share his turkey, but Bullard insisted on not coming. Now it looks like there will be several empty places at the table.
Uncle Mort.
Yes, Marjorie?
I'm leaving now. Bronco got tickets for the football game.
Oh?
Uh-huh. He's down getting gas, and I'm going to meet him out front. We're a little late.
Well, sorry you can't be with us for dinner. But before you go, I want you to meet little Mike. Mike? Yo, Mike?
He's in here with me testing the turkey, Mr. Gildersleeve.
You don't spoil his dinner, Bertie.
No, sir.
You better send him in. I want Marjorie to see him.
Who did you want to see me, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Mike, this is my niece, Marjorie.
Hello, Mike. Hello. What's a niece?
Well, in this case, she's somebody I'm uncle to.
Are you here for dinner, too?
Well, I live here, but I can't be here for dinner. You'll excuse me, won't you?
Well, I don't know.
She and her husband are going to a football game, Mike.
Would you rather see a football game than eat turkey?
No, but our college is playing.
Isn't anybody going to eat Thanksgiving dinner with us?
Well, Leroy will be here. He's over on the hill with his sled.
What about Mr. Bullard, Unky?
He expressed regrets. Bullard style.
He's all alone. We feel sorry for him.
You feel sorry for him.
Okay.
Uh-oh, that's Bronco. Well, Mike, I'm awfully glad you came. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Marjorie.
Mike, it's just plain Marjorie.
But you've got a husband. That makes you Mrs.
Well, I'll still be Marjorie to you. Goodbye, Anki.
Ta-ta, my dear.
What'll we do now, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, it's quite a while until dinner, and I'm out of cigars. Why don't we drop by Mr. Peavy's and then join Leroy for a sled ride?
Okay. Shall we go back and help Bertie taste the turkey before we go?
Well, I guess we could take a little sliver where it won't show. Hello, Peavy.
Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you today?
I need some cigars, Peavy. I took a chance on your being open today.
Well, I'm closing in a little while. Your usual brand?
Yeah, that's right. Peavy, aren't you going to say hello to Mike?
Is he here?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see you down there below the counter. Hello, Mikey.
Hello, Mr. Peavy.
Here, Mike. Let me lift you up on one of these stools.
I can climb up.
He's having Thanksgiving dinner with us, Peavy.
Oh, you don't say. You care to have a soda on the house, Mike? No, I guess it didn't spoil your dinner.
He didn't give me a chance to answer.
Well, you better save up. We have a big dinner to take care of.
There aren't many people eating with Mr. Gildersleeve and me.
Well, Marjorie and Bronco are going to the game over in Center City, Peavy.
Well, if it was 40 years ago, I'd go out there and sit in the snow myself.
Mr. Gildersleeve, can I whisper something?
You out? Excuse us, Peavy.
Very well.
What is it?
Why don't we ask Mr. Peavy over for dinner?
That's a nice thought. I'm sure his dinner's all planned, but why don't you ask him?
Okay. Mr. Peavy?
Oh, am I included now?
Yes. Would you like to come over and help us eat our turkey?
Well, I'll be eating at home, Mike, but thank you just the same.
That's all right. I thought you might be lonesome.
Mike, Mr. Peavy has a wife at home. He doesn't get lonesome.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Last Thanksgiving, I would have taken you up on the invitation.
Oh?
Just happened that I was alone. We'd planned on having a turkey, but Mrs. Peavy went to visit her mother instead.
Wish she'd visit her mother again this year.
How's that?
So you'd be lonesome enough to eat with us.
Peavy, Mike is bound and determined to fill every place at the table.
Hey, isn't that Mr. Bullard parking the big car out front?
Yes, it is.
He's coming in here.
He's still alone. Why don't we give him another chance to eat with us?
No, Mike.
Maybe he wants to be coaxed. I do sometimes. I even get under the bed and won't come out.
Well, all right. Just for you, Mike, I'll ask him once more.
How do you do, Peavy?
Well, hello, Mr. Bullard.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Oh, hello.
What a cold fish.
Go ahead, Mr. Gildersleeve. Ask him.
Ask me what?
Mr. Bullard, if you'd care to reconsider, the invitation to dinner is still good.
Thank you, Gildersleeve, but I have plans of my own.
Well, we'd love to have you come to our house.
Gildersleeve, stop nagging at me to come to your house.
All right.
You have your dinner, and I'll have my party at the club. Oh, Peavy, I want 5 pounds of your best after-dinner mints.
My, my.
5 pounds? You must be having a big party.
Oh, yes, yes, I am. Thanksgiving is a day to gather your friends around you. And although I may not be considered popular by one of my neighbors, I have many friends. Peavy, make that 10 pounds of mints.
10 pounds? I'm glad I opened up today.
Stuffed shirt. Must be inviting his whole club.
How much will that be, Peavy?
Well, it comes to $7, but of course it's a lot of mints.
You must not be having anything for dinner but mints.
Mike?
There you are, Peavy. These mints should be the crowning touch after my friends and I enjoy a hearty meal. We're having vichyssoise, a tossed green salad with anchovies, roast pheasant. golden pheasant.
You might guess.
Wild rice, of course, candied yams, and for dessert, flaming plum pudding.
Sounds mighty good.
Mr. Gildersleeve, maybe he'd invite us to his dinner.
Mike, come with me. We have to pick up Leroy.
Thanks for picking me up, Unc.
Well, it'll soon be time for turkey.
Or did I work up an appetite sliding on the hill?
I'm hungry, too.
Me, too. Three of us will have a fine time.
Isn't Mr. Bullard coming?
No. Bullard's invited a lot of people out to his club for a fancy dinner. Vichy Schwarz.
Leroy, it was nice of you to take me down on the hill on your sled.
Oh, that's okay. Forget it.
I like you, Leroy.
You do? Why?
I don't know. I guess it's like Mrs. Foster says. She says little boys always want to be like big boys.
Well, I am getting pretty big, I guess.
Mike, someday you'll be as big as Leroy.
I don't know if I'll ever get that big.
You know, Mike, I sort of like you, too.
Thank you. Hey, we're coming close to where I live.
Yeah, that's your home, my boy.
Hey, Unc, stop the car.
Why, Leroy?
Just stop the car.
Well, you're all right.
Why are we stopping here? I haven't had dinner yet.
Yes, Leroy, why are we stopping?
Unc, could we get some more little kids like Mike and take them home to dinner?
Leroy, that's a wonderful idea.
Oh, boy. Leroy, can I go in and see who's left?
Sure. Catty, Unc.
You bet. Run on in, Mike, and round up a car full. We'll wait.
Oh, boy, I've been wanting to invite somebody.
What a fine little fellow.
Yeah, he's okay.
And Leroy.
Yeah?
There's another fine fellow sitting right next to me.
Oh, heck. Gosh. Gee, Unc, that's the way to have Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. Invite people to dinner who'll appreciate it. To heck with Bullard. Let him have his big dinner with all his fine friends.
Hey, Mr. Gildersleeve, Leroy.
Yeah, I didn't expect you back so soon, Mike.
Where are all the kids, Mike?
They've all gone out.
They have.
But do you know who's sitting in there with no place to go?
Who?
Mr. Bullard.
Mr. Bullard.
Come on out, Mr. Bullard. They know you're in there.
Well, what do you know?
Imagine that. Hello, Mr. Bullard.
Oh, hello, Gildersleeve. Leroy.
Hi.
Mr. Bullard, you're the last man I expected to see here.
Oh? Well, I thought I'd come over and take some of the children to dinner. You're not the only one who can entertain friends. Well, good day. I think I'll take my mints and go home.
You, wait a minute. Mr. Bullard.
Yes?
Yeah, I thought you were going to have a big party. It's your club.
Well, I intended to, Gildersleeve, but a lot of pushy people like you have taken all the children.
Well, we didn't get our share. There's room for one more.
You mean...
Yeah, how many times do we have to ask you?
Well,
come on, Mr. Bullard. I'll get in the back seat with you.
All right, all right. Thank you, Leroy. Thank you.
Right, George Bullard, this is a fine idea. I'm so glad you're going to be with us.
Thank you, Gildersleeve.
Don't cry, Mr. Bullard. You have more friends than you thought you had.
Yes, sir. There's something about Thanksgiving.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds. Have you tasted the two delicious new versions of Philadelphia brand cream cheese? Now you can get delicately rich Philadelphia cream cheese filled with spicy bits of chives and Philadelphia cream cheese with pieces of red pimento all through. Imagine the delicious variety of easy snacks and sandwiches you can make with these two new kinds of Philadelphia brand cream cheese. Try them tomorrow. Just be sure you get genuine Philadelphia brand cream cheese. Remember, there's only one Philadelphia brand, and it's made and guaranteed fresh by Kraft.
This is Gildersleeve again. Thanksgiving is a holiday we Americans cherish. It's a part of our national tradition. And more than that, it shows how our way of life in this country has always been linked so closely with religion. These days, I think we all realize how important it is that we strengthen our faith for ourselves and our children. Take someone to church this week. You'll both be richer for it. Good night.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Gail Gordon, Tommy Reddig, Earl Ross, and Dick LeGrand. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of those famous Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. Groucho Marx, you bet your life. He's next on NBC.
That is a fun Thanksgiving episode of The Great Gildersleeve, November 21st, 1951, sponsored by Kraft, as heard on NBC, starring Willard Waterman.
And didn't you do a radio show with Willard Waterman?
Actually,
it was a long time ago, years and years ago,
I was in New Jersey at a convention, and I auditioned for the reenactment, and Willard Waterman was there.
And you made it?
Yeah. I played Leroy in a reenactment, so I got to stand next to Willard Waterman. He was tall, very tall. Of course, most people are tall next to me.
All right.
There was no milk boxes for me to stand on, no milk cartons.
Did you talk to him? Like,
oh, gosh,
I mean,
yeah.
Personally.
We sat and talked and went over the script. And also, Shirley Mitchell was there, too. Shirley Mitchell played Leela, remember? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it was a really fun radio show with Willard Waterman. Got to be at the microphone with Willard Waterman and Shirley Mitchell. And I was, hey, Unc. I did the Walter Tetley role.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. I wish I had a recording of that.
I wish you did,
I was probably terrible on it. You know, I would still like to hear how bad I was on it.
Me too.
You know? And we would play it and people would send in hate mail and things like that.
Well, just to you, probably not to the others.
Yeah. I'm sure Willard Waterman was good on it, though.
I'm sure he was.
I remember him being really, really great.
I bet.
A lot of fun. All right, let's take a quick break, and then it's more Thanksgiving festivities with Classic Radio after these words. Well, I have a question for you, Lisa.
Uh-oh.
Very important. I mean, you're very technical, and this is a technical question.
Okay, I'm ready for you.
So what did the turkey say to the computer?
Gobble, gobble.
No, Google, Google,
that's
Google.
That's what I said. yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah? Well, I got one more question for you.
Okay.
Why did the cranberries turn red? Because they saw the turkey dressing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you are good.
I'm telling you. I'm trying to parlay this into a stand-up gig somewhere.
Yes, that's a great
Zanies.
Idea.
Hey, Zanies.
Oh, yeah.
Are you listening out there?
I bet they're just going to, they can't wait to grab you and bring you over.
They're probably at home eating turkey, though. They're not thinking about business right now. But,
but if they were, you'd be there.
If they were looking for new talent.
Right.
Right here.
Right here. Here you are.
I could just do one joke with my rim shot.
If you had your notes, and then you could read them.
Well, I have to have notes. I can't memorize anything. I'm not good at memorizing.
Of course.
But I have a few more Thanksgiving jokes throughout the night.
I look forward to them.
Right in our next hour.
And too bad I don't have Roger here to roll our eyes together.
I know.
That's
Roger,
what we do.
Roger generally
You know what? Ryan's rolling his eyes from up there, too. I can see him.
Totally. Yeah.
Ryan.
I've got loud eyes, too.
I see them. I hear them.
Ryan.
We're together.
I like you so much. I'm going to let you use these jokes without paying me a royalty from now on.
Fabulous. That sound? Yep.
Just write them down. Use them every year. It's perennial.
Do you have the one lined up, what key doesn't open a door?
Yeah, turkey.
There you go.
See, there you have it.
See, me and Ryan, we go way back.
Oh, I know.
You know. All right, in the next hour, we're going to tune in to one of the greatest radio broadcasts of all time. Ray Bradbury wrote it, and it happens to be a Thanksgiving show. It's on Suspense. It's called The Screaming Woman, and it stars Margaret O'Brien. I promise you, you will love this show.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, welcome back to a special edition of the WGN Radio Theater. I want to thank Ryan Burrow, who's doing the news for us. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope you guys and gals are just stuffed and enjoying your families and had wonderful food to eat and probably working on some dessert right now and some coffee and just sitting back, hopefully by a fireplace and listening to Lisa and I play these classic radio shows, right?
That sounds good to me.
We are here. If you like these classic radio shows, we're here every Saturday and Sunday night in our regular time slot of 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. We play three classic radio shows on Saturday nights and three classic radio shows on Sunday.
Right? We're actually on Saturday and Sunday, even if you don't like these classic radio shows.
Well, especially if you do like it, tune
especially
in.
Especially true.
Yeah, this Saturday and Sunday, we have The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, Life with Luigi, Escape, Dimension X, Suspense, and Lum and Abner. That's our lineup. And then, you know what, Lisa? We get into December,
yep.
And that means all kinds of Christmas shows.
Yep.
In fact, every Saturday and Sunday night, we're going to have holiday programs, all kinds of Christmas and Hanukkah and all kinds of fun stuff. We have, I think we're playing an episode of Miracle on 34th Street for Christmas because we're not on Christmas.
Right.
Christmas Eve.
No, we are
And
not.
I believe Stephanie is going to play a half-hour episode of Miracle on 34th Street for our listeners.
Yeah, we have a lot of good stuff coming up December. We will post that for you, of course.
Yep, our text in line, because Lisa loves getting texts.
I'm reading jokes, which I'm not going to read out loud.
You can't read.
I can't read that one in the air, but we've got all sorts of nice comments, and we really do appreciate that you appreciate us. Honestly, it means a lot to me.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
I know it means a lot to Carl.
Being here on Thanksgiving, playing these Thanksgiving shows for you. Our text in line, 312-981-7200. Please text us if you have any questions, comments. We love hearing from our listeners. And you know what, Lisa? I have to ask this question because it's been just burning for me. I have to
You're
know
burning?
The answer. I have to know the
I
answer
gave
to this
some
question.
Medication for that.
What do you get when you cross a turkey with a centipede? You get drumsticks for everyone on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're funny.
I'm telling you, I'm going to turn this into
a
stand-up
gig.
This
is going to be a second job for you.
Where else besides Zanies? If Zanies doesn't offer me enough
Second City.
Enough
yeah,
money.
You are on your way.
If Zanies doesn't offer me enough money, where else?
Go to Second City.
Do they do stand-up routines there? No. I think there's some other comedy
places.
They
do improv there, though. They have improv.
I'm probably not good at that.
Oh, you seem great.
I need to use a teleprompter.
You need a little
I need
teleprompter in your ear.
Speaking in my ear.
Yeah, I think you'd kill him.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, as I say, one of the best radio shows ever broadcast. It happens to be a Thanksgiving broadcast. It's Suspense coming your way, but first, these words. All right, Lisa, are you enjoying these classic radio Thanksgiving shows?
I sure am, and I'm really looking forward to Suspense. I know we've played it on our other show, but we've never played it here, I don't think.
Right, we never played it on... actually, we did play this particular episode, I think, the very first year we were on the air here.
That's just like a blur.
Yeah, but you know what? It's so great. It warrants a second airing.
Good.
And I'm sure a lot of the listeners have not heard this program. But I got to tell you, Ray Bradbury, who I had the great fortune of working with on a project years ago, and I got to go down into his basement at his house where he had all of his memorabilia from all the years of writing for classic radio and in movies and all of his television projects. What a wonderful man. We put out a collection of science fiction classic radio shows together, and he helped me pick out the shows, and he wrote a wonderful foreword for the collection. And he is just, it was great to work with such an icon, such a wonderful man. And he wrote this particular episode called The Screaming Woman for probably the best series on radio, Suspense. It was on the air 22 years, had the best actors, had the best producers and writers, and this particular episode stars Margaret O'Brien, and also it has Agnes Moorehead. Agnes Moorehead is the woman you hear screaming in the episode. This is called The Screaming Woman. It is a Thanksgiving show. It's from November 25th, 1948, sponsored by Autolite. Here's part one of Suspense.
In just a moment, Autolite presents Suspense, starring Margaret O'Brien.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh.
Why, Hap, Hap, that's not the way to sing hurrah for Thanksgiving Day.
What are you telling me, Harlow Wilcox? Why, I've
no,
sung that
no,
song.
Hap, this is the way it goes today. Over the river and through the woods and never mind the snow. Grandpa's happy with his jalopy, his battery's never low. Over the river and through the woods, blow high, ye winds, blow low. The car's as snappy as Grandma and Pappy with an Autolite Stay Full, you know.
But, Harlow, that's
not... Why, you
not...
see, Hap, Autolite Stay Full batteries have changed a lot of things today.
Harlow, isn't anything sacred anymore? It's Thanksgiving Day. Let's listen to Margaret O'Brien on Suspense.
Suspense. Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations bring you radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Miss Margaret O'Brien in Anton Leder's production of The Screaming Woman. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I'm Margaret Leary, and I've got to tell you how it happened. It was Thanksgiving Day, and it was nice and sunshiny, almost like summer except cooler. Mama was cooking the turkey, and I was watching. And Mama said to me,
"Good heavens, I forgot. Your Aunt Cynthia's made some cranberry relish for us. Run over and get it, Margaret, so her feelings aren't hurt. And hurry, this turkey's done to a turn."
So I ran to Aunt Cynthia's, and on the way back, I took a shortcut through Mr. Kelly's lot. It's a big lot, more like the side of a hill that slides down to Monument Creek. It's a swell place to play Indians and cowboys, or explorers are hunting for treasures, because trucks dump all kinds of stuff there. Loads of dirt and junk, and even big things like old cars and big pipes and chunks of concrete. Well, this day, coming back from Aunt Cynthia's, I saw that a lot of new junk and dirt had been dumped there since Saturday. They'd even covered up our swell big concrete pipe that us kids called our fort. Covered it clear up. I was looking around to see where it used to be when, all of a sudden, I stopped and listened. The sound was coming up out of the ground. A woman was buried under the junk and dirt and glass, and she was screaming all wild and horrible for somebody to dig her out. I started to run. I fell down and got up and ran some more. It was an awful, awful long way to our house that day. Mama! Mama!
Margaret?
Mama, Mama!
Oh, Margaret, haven't I told you not to slam the door? Is that the relish?
Listen, Mama, there's a screaming woman in the lot.
Wash your hands, Margaret.
She was screaming and screaming and screaming. Mama, listen to me. We've got to dig her out. She's buried under tons and tons of dirt.
I'm sure she can wait till after dinner. Oh, next year, I swear I'm going to buy a bigger platter.
Mama, don't you believe me? You've got to believe me.
Margaret, I've got a million things to do. Good gosh, look at you. How'd you get your knees so dirty?
Well, running back from the lot,
Never mind. Scoot and tell your dad we're about to eat. He's in the front room reading his paper.
Yes, Mama. Daddy! Oh, Daddy, I've got to tell you something.
Getting hungry, baby?
Daddy, there's a screaming woman in the lot.
I never knew a woman who didn't. Smell that turkey.
We've got to get picks and shovels and dig her up, like for an Egyptian mummy. Oh, Daddy!
Well, I don't feel much like an archaeologist today, Margaret. I can't think of anything but food. Let's have an expedition next Sunday and dig her up.
But we can't wait that long. Oh, Daddy, she'll die if we don't do it now. I'll give you some money.
Oh, so it's a business proposition. Well, how much do you pay by the hour?
I've got $5 whole. It took me a year to save.
Come here, Puss. You know I'm touched.
Oh, but Daddy,
you want me to play with you, and you're willing to pay me for my time. Why, dear, you're shaking. Calm down.
Oh, Daddy, please.
After our Thanksgiving dinner, I'll come out and listen to your screaming. Oh, but... How's that?
Oh, no, now, Daddy. Maybe she'll die if you don't come out now. Oh, you've got to come now.
Margaret.
If you believe me, you wouldn't wait. You never believe me. Mama doesn't believe me. Nobody believes me.
Quiet down right this minute. Oh, or but... I not only won't go with you, but you'll go to your room and stay in without your Thanksgiving dinner. Now, is that clear?
Yes, sir. It's clear. I always liked Thanksgiving, almost next best to Christmas, but that was an awful one. Dinner was a million years long. Everybody moved so slow, like a slow-motion movie. Forks and knives and spoons moved slow, and Dad's cheek muscles moved slow when he chewed. I'll try to make things faster.
Margaret, you heard your mother now. Don't eat so fast.
But, Daddy, the screaming woman, we've got to hurry.
My dear young lady, this is Thanksgiving dinner, an occasion when we do not hurry. No, I intend to eat 4 or 5 helpings of everything until I can't eat any more. And I'm going to make an extra effort and find room for pumpkin pie, a few walnuts, stuffed dates.
Oh, please, please, Daddy.
Now, if you pester me any more, if you mention her again, this screaming, what's this, I won't go out with you to hear a recital at all. I understood?
Yes, sir. It's understood. I wanted to yell. Oh, please, rush, get up, run around, come on, hurry. But I had to sit still, while out there in the lot with the sun shining down, all alone with nobody to hear or to help her, was the screaming woman. I could hear in my mind screaming. Mom and Daddy couldn't hear. They just kept on eating and talking.
Well, now that I can be thankful for a full stomach, I guess we should consider what other things we have to be thankful for,
Well, we're all healthy. Prices are sky high, but we're not in debt yet.
Those are mundane things, my dear. I'm thankful for my big daughter. Right, Puss?
Yes, Dad.
And for my loving wife, who is still the most romantic woman I know.
Oh, silly.
I'm thankful I didn't marry somebody else.
You nearly married Dora Lampell. Even gave her a ring.
No, I never meant anything. No one... No. You're the only one who's been the serious competitor since we were all kids.
Oh?
There's only one. One who? Other. Helen Nesbit.
Oh...
Yeah, Helen was my first love. When she was about as old as Margaret, I gave her a present one Christmas, and she gave me one. I still have it.
Oh, that paperweight on your desk.
Mm-hmm. Funny how we hang on to things that were important when we were kids.
Daddy.
Just a little longer, boys. Warm up my coffee, will you, dear?
You know what I'm thankful for, dear? Seriously. That we stayed here in this same town where we grew up. Here you are, dear.
Thank you.
The same friends. Even the same street. It's been a peaceful life. Not very exciting, but...
Daddy!
Margaret finds it pretty exciting.
Yes. You better take her out to the lot before she collapses.
All right, now, where is your screaming woman? Lead me to her.
Over here, where our fort used to be.
Fort?
The big concrete pipe. It's all covered up now.
Kelly's really getting this lot filled in. All right, where's the lady?
Right about here, Daddy. Listen.
Don't hear a thing. Except the wind. Better button up your sweater, Puss.
Shh. Listen.
Well, that's the trolley over on Aspen Street.
Hey there, screaming woman. Hey!
Looks like the Dolans are starting out for a drive. Well, I guess your screaming woman's let you down, Puss.
But she was here, Daddy. Right under here where they dumped all this dirt. I heard her screaming and screaming like she was underneath the fort. Somebody's dumped tons and tons right on top of our fort.
Yeah, too bad they buried your fort, Margaret. I saw 2 of Kelly's big trucks backed in here last evening. There was a dump truck in here this morning, too.
It isn't because they covered the fort.
It must be your screaming woman doesn't like grown-ups. Only delivers her solo for kids again.
Maybe she can't scream anymore.
Well, I'm going back and take a nap. Let my dinner settle.
Well, aren't you going to help me dig?
Now, listen, my dear. Don't you think this is a sort of a silly game?
But it's not a game.
Now, don't stay too long, dear. Mama probably likes some help with those dishes.
Daddy! Daddy! I know I heard her scream. I know it. Oh, darn, darn, darn! You're there! You're still there! Hey, screaming woman! Oh, why did you scream before? Why didn't you scream so Daddy could hear you? Don't just scream for me. I can't help you all by myself. Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Daddy, Daddy, she's screaming again. Right after you left, she started to scream. You've got to come back.
Whoa, there now. Come here. Let me feel your head.
Please, Dad.
Why, you've got a fever. You're going to lie down, young lady.
We can't leave it down there, Dad. We just can't.
Come on along. Come on into your room. That's right.
It's awful, Dad. It's awful for her to be screaming and nobody listening.
Now, listen,
nobody caring.
Lie down, folks. Lie down. Now, come on.
She'll choke where there isn't any more air and she'll die.
Now, you're going to lie down the rest of the afternoon before you make yourself sick.
No, I've got to dig. I've got to dig her up.
All those comic books you read. Now, I forbid you to leave the house. Close your eyes now and take a nap. That's my good girl.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
For Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Miss Margaret O'Brien in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
I have a hunch you're going to give me another Autolite Stay Full Battery Thanksgiving song.
No, not me, Hap.
No?
No, siree. By Cornelius, I'm going to tell a Thanksgiving story. It's a fable.
Couldn't be anything else if you told it.
Now, listen to this, my trigger tongue trooper. Last year at this time, my car called me out to the garage. What? Quite a car, too, Hap. Once a year, she overhauls me.
Wow, and on Thanksgiving Day, too.
Harlow, she said, I have an empty feeling, and I'm so confounded thirsty all the time, I think you ought to do something about it. I'd like to end up Thanksgiving Day with that fine, full feeling that lulls you to sleep as soon as the mince pie disappears. Well, how, my pretty, says I, can all this be accomplished? Easy, she chimes. I need to switch to an Autolite Stay Full Battery. Why, with an Autolite Stay Full Battery, I'll never be thirsty. And if you use me normally, I'll need only 3 drinks a year. And what's more, with the oversized electrical capacity and fiberglass insulation of that Autolite Stay Full Battery, I'll have more power, stay lively longer, and save you time, trouble, work, and worry. And Harlow, for a fellow as lazy as you are, think what all this means. Well, when she came up with all those points in my favor, I hurried, I hastened, I hurtled till I was exhausted. And by Christopher, I got an Autolite Stay Full Battery and gave it to Clarissa. I call my car Clarissa. Thanksgiving morning. We took a spin, and I could tell she was happier than a penguin with skis.
Sounds like Harlow in Wonderland.
Happier than a penguin with skis, Lisa.
Yeah.
Boy, that sounds happy.
I know. I like their humor.
You know, you know what's so great? These commercials radio shows are great too, right?
Well, remember, that's my background.
Right.
I mean, I studied
that's
advertising.
That's right. Lisa was...
I do appreciate
how many master's degrees do you have, Lisa?
I can't
12, 14?
I just can't keep track. Carl.
Lisa has
just
so many master's
so
degrees.
So many.
She uses them as wallpaper in her mansion.
Well, you know, I can't afford regular wallpaper, so I just sort of plaster them across the walls.
Well, you have so many walls.
Right.
You need to use your master's
exactly.
degrees. So, yeah, I just love these classic radio commercials. And, you know, this is an Autolite commercial, and you're the Autolite spark plug girl.
Oh, yes.
Lisa, that's what Lisa would have been back in the golden age of radio.
Since 1945, I started that.
Yeah. Switch to Autolite.
Good night.
Yeah, good job. Do it. Do it again.
No, I did it already.
No, I talked over you, sorry.
You always do.
Do it again. You ready?
No, I'm not doing it anymore.
Oh, come on, Lisa.
You ruined it.
All right. This is the first portion of The Screaming Woman, starring Margaret O'Brien with Agnes Moorehead as The Screaming Woman from November 25th, 1948. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes. I have a question for you, Lisa.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Ryan, help me.
What kind of music did the pilgrims listen to at the first Thanksgiving feast? You know?
Oh, I'd say...
Any idea?
Oh.
Plymouth Rock.
Oh, I was trying to do a play on words with rock and roll, but I just didn't get to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're close.
I was close.
Well, all those master's degrees didn't help you there.
No, they didn't.
All right, let's take a quick break, then we'll be back here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Timeless, memorable music is back on the radio.
At 87.7 FM.
We can't go on together.
Great artists.
Great songs.
Great memories.
Right now on 87.7 FM.
First on your dial.
At 87.7 FM.
MeTV FM.
All right, Lisa Wolf. You know what? I'm gonna take a moment to make a shameless plug for my new book. I'm so excited. I wrote a book about the golden age of radio with my writing partner. His name is Martin Grams. He lives in Philadelphia. And he and I embarked on a six-month journey of writing a book called The Top 100 Classic Radio Shows. And it's a big coffee table book. It's 224 pages. And it each of the top 100 shows, The Shadow, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, there's a double-page spread of each one of those shows. It's all color and hundreds of period photographs of these actors like Abbott and Costello and Jack Benny in front of the microphones. There's fun facts. There's cast lists. And we detail the two pages, the history of that show. Now, there's something else besides all of that in this book. In the back of the book are three CDs, which have six classic radio shows, and then you're allowed to go to a website, a special website, if you own the book, that has 78 classic radio shows that you can digitally download as part of the price of the book. Now, people have been buying the book and saying, well, gosh, this book, it's a big, huge, four-pound coffee table book. What is it, $60, $80, $90, $100? It's only $29.99. You can get it at all your Barnes & Nobles and at Amazon. But if you go to my website, if you order it off my website, I will be happy to personalize it and autograph it to you free of charge. So just if you want to get the book, go to WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com. When you go there, there'll be a pop-up that pops up, talks about the book, and I hope you will want to get a copy for yourself or send one to someone for a Christmas gift.
I have given many books out for gifts, and I have one for myself, and I know we gave one to Roger, and
yeah.
We gave one to Dave Pleyer,
yeah.
And a few others around here, and everybody who has the book loves the book, and I just was at my in-laws' house, and I gave them a book.
And I appreciate you paying three times the amount of anybody else,
Lisa. It's worth a couple $100 for the book.
I appreciate that.
I mean, you know, whatever I can do to help, and my father-in-law was literally sitting on his chair, thumbing through the book. I mean, instead of interacting with his children after dinner, he's reading the top 100 classic radio shows. So it must be, it's got a good draw. It's the kind of thing you can just flip through, look at a few pages at a time. There is so much information packed in on each page. We're reading the picture captions and we're reading, like you said,
the fun facts.
There's just so much involved in each radio show. So it's really, really a great book.
You would think a book about classic radio would be sort of black and white and everything. It's tons of color, and it's a hardcover.
It's really user-friendly.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I think if you bought it, you'd want to put it on your coffee table.
I would think so.
And just thumb through it and have some fun and listen to the classic radio shows while you're reading about it. Thank you so much. And Martin Graham's hats off to him, too. He's an expert on classic radio. We had a lot of fun writing the book. Came out by Portable Press, which is a great company out of San Diego. And as I say, you can pick it up anywhere, including at Amazon, but I hope you'll want to get it autographed as part of the whole presentation. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com. And a lot of our listeners have purchased it and were kind enough to send me emails afterwards saying how much they like it. And really is a lot. It's the first time I've ever written a book. I mean, I've written a lot of things, you know, that have been with the classic radio shows that I put out. But the first time I've embarked on an actual book. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of work, a lot of fun. All right, we're going to take a break for news. When we come back, it's the conclusion to Suspense.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
I tell you, Bill Curtis, he has this piano playing thing down perfectly. You hear that?
Yeah, he's good.
I tell you, I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. Bill Curtis. I loved him all these years.
I know, me too.
And then he did the Anchorman movies.
I just ran into him a couple of times.
I know. Lisa keeps running into Bill Curtis. I have never met him.
I know, but...
I would be like this. Hamana.
I reintroduce myself every single time I see him, and he always says he remembers me, but I'm not really sure.
I bet you he just seems like the nicest
man.
Here's
me. I'm Lisa Wolf, you know, from Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
He's like, who is this person?
No, he couldn't have been sweeter and kinder. And he gave me a hug and we talked and he couldn't have been warmer.
And you filmed at his house one time, right?
You were in
one of those America's Most Wanted or something?
No,
you were the one they were chasing?
American Greed.
Yeah.
We did a couple episodes.
Carted you off with handcuffs and everything?
That was something else. No, that was something else.
I saw something one time on your reel where they handcuff you and they take you away.
Oh, yeah, I like those handcuffs. No, I'm kidding. No. This is something different. That was, I forgot what that was called. I don't even remember the name of that show.
Was it Unsolved Mysteries or something like that?
It was something like that, but I can't think of it. It's on my resume. I just don't remember the name of it right now.
I'll tell you what, Lisa is a multi-talented person.
You know, Carl, we all have to do a lot of...
She does acting.
We have our hands in many pots here.
And she's trying to get a new radio show off the ground called Listen to Lisa.
Yeah.
Where she gives advice because she has a...
I'm going to be the new Dr. Ruth.
Master's degree in, psychology?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No. But you know what?
Something like that.
I need a sidekick. And you are just the guy for the job.
Well, expensive, Lisa.
I know you are, just as
awfully expensive.
I know. But I can afford it.
You know what? I would be your Tonto anytime, Lisa.
Yep, I'm counting on that.
The Lone Ranger, and I would be your Tonto.
I honestly think the male versus the female perspective is quite interesting.
So the whole concept is listen to Lisa. People call in.
And maybe Carl.
You take the whole. I want you to have the whole.
Listen to Lisa and maybe Carl.
Enchilada. I want you to have the whole enchilada.
I like the maybe Carl part. That gives a good little kick.
And maybe Carl.
Yeah, that's the little
kick. And people call in and they have problems and you help
them. Who doesn't have problems?
Everybody has problems.
Right? And who couldn't help?
You solve their problems.
Well, not necessarily, but maybe send them on the path to the right direction.
You steer them onto the right path.
Exactly.
It's a great idea.
Don't sue me. it doesn't go well.
Yeah. When they call in, they have to sign a waiver before they can talk to you.
Exactly.
Well, your husband's a lawyer, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Should be no problem. Right. I'm ready to go.
Are you enjoying Suspense with Margaret O'Brien?
It's amazing
how great of an actress she is. It's this young girl. I think she was maybe 13 years old here.
She was 14 or something. Yeah. And you know what? I think I can speak for both of us when I say that we are both so thrilled to be on here on a Thursday evening for our Thanksgiving special edition.
When Stephanie Menendez said, hey, would you like to do 7 to 9? We were like, there wasn't even a second.
7 to 9
like,
on Thursday.
We'll be there.
So we feel lucky
to be
here during the week.
We love doing this show. So thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, Todd. And thank you to our listeners. And it's time now for the conclusion to The Screaming Woman on Suspense.
Brian and The Screaming Woman.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Miss Margaret O'Brien as Margaret in The Screaming Woman. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
After a while, I stopped crying. I had to get back to the lot where that woman was screaming, but I was locked in. I tied a sheet to the bed and let it out the window and shinnied down to the ground. Then I ran to the garage and got shovels and ran to the empty lot. The sun was almost down and it was getting cold. I started to dig fast.
Hiya, Maggie.
It was Dippy Smith, who was 10 years old, the same as me. He goes to my school.
What you digging for?
For a screaming woman. She's down in the ground and I'm going to dig her up. You can help me dig, Dippy. There's an extra shovel.
I don't hear nothing. I don't dig unless I hear a scream.
Then listen.
I don't hear nothing.
Just wait. You will. There. Did you hear it?
Hey, that's okay. Do it again. Do what again? Scream. Do it again. Go on. I'll give you this Aggie if you teach me to do it. Hot dog, did you get that ventriloquist book for a dime from that magic company? You got one of those 10 things in your mouth?
I won't tell unless you help me dig.
Okay, swell. Give me the shovel. Hot dog.
And you got to dig fast, like this, Dippy.
Boy, you think she was right under our feet. You're wonderful, Maggie. Say, what's the screaming woman's name? You must have made her up a name.
Oh, sure. Her name is Wilma Schweiger, and she's a rich old lady, 160 years old, and she was buried by a crook named Spike. Come on, Dippy, dig. Keep digging. We can't stop, Dippy.
Oh, I'm tired. I think I'll go home.
Dippy, stop. You can't. There really is a woman buried here.
Well, sure. You said so, Maggie.
Oh, don't you believe me? I wasn't throwing my voice. Come back, Dippy.
Okay, but I'm getting tired of digging.
Now, look, Dippy. I'll go way over here, and then you listen.
Okay.
Listen.
Hey, there really is a woman here.
That's what I told you.
Well, come on, let's dig. How's she breathing, do you think?
I think she's in the fort, remember?
Sure. That's where she must be. 5 or 6 of us kids could get in it so it's big enough. I sure hope it isn't just a radio or something.
Well, a radio would be nice, too.
Here, what do you kids think you're doing?
Oh, hello, Mr. Kelly.
I'm tired of chasing you out of this lot. If one of you gets hurt, maybe your folks would sue me.
But, Mr. Kelly, there's a woman screaming.
You kids beat it, do you hear?
Yes, sir. But listen, Mr. Kelly, don't you hear her? There.
I don't hear a thing, and neither do you. Now beat it.
Come on, Maggie.
Mr. Kelly, somebody's got to dig her up.
Don't argue with me or I'll phone your folks. This is my property. Do I have to put up a fence? Why should I spend money to keep people off my own property?
Dippy, it's him. He's the one.
Huh?
He murdered Mrs. Kelly. He hit her on the head and stuck her in the fort and dumped loads of dirt on top. But she wasn't dead. She came too. Why, you saw him. He stood right there when she screamed and wouldn't pay any attention.
Hey, that's right. He stood right there and lied to us. What do we do, Maggie?
There's only one thing to do. We'll phone the police and tell them to come and arrest Mr. Kelly.
They sure got here fast, Maggie.
Shh. Don't make a sound.
Is Mr. Kelly in the house?
Yes. He went right home from the lot.
Yes, officer. You, Mr. Kelly?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Is Mrs. Kelly at home this evening?
Why, sure.
Can I see her, sir?
Why, sure. Hey, Anna. What's up?
You got a call. Oh, well, good evening, ma'am.
What did it
ask?
Oh, I'm sorry, folks. We got a call that Mrs. Kelly was buried alive in an empty lot. Sounded like some kid calling, but we had to make sure. We always check, you know.
Oh, I can't understand.
It's those blasted kids. If I ever catch them, I'll break their necks.
Maggie, jeez it.
Boy, if Mr. Kelly telephones my dad, I'll get a licking.
What'll we do about the screaming woman?
What the heck with her? I'm not going near that lot again.
Wait, Dippy.
Huh?
I know why he didn't hear the screams. Kelly's sort of deaf. Mama says he's hard of hearing.
He heard us, didn't he? He heard the cop.
He reads people's lips, but he couldn't hear the screaming woman because he couldn't see her. Dippy, come on. We gotta dig some more.
No, sir.
But we've got to.
We're already in a peck of trouble over your darn old ventriloquist voice. I'm not going to get in any more trouble. No, sir.
And he went off and left me alone. I wanted to crawl down under the ground with the screaming woman and die, too. It was dark now, and Dad would be hunting for me. If he found me, I'd get a licking and be put to bed. And then nobody would help the screaming woman at all. There was only one last thing to do. So I did it. To go all over the neighborhood from house to house and find out who's missing.
Why, hello, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Griswold. Is anybody missing from your house? Is your sister from Detroit still here?
Yes, she's sitting right over there by the radio. Don't you see her? Em, little Margaret Leary wants...
No, I only wanted to see her, Mrs. Griswold. I was just wondering. I just wanted to know if she was here. Hello, Mrs. Pikes. You're looking good. I'm glad to see you're at home, Mrs. Pikes. I'm awful glad. Mr. Hyde, is your wife still here?
Dora, aren't you out pretty late, Margaret?
Yes. Oh, hello, Mrs. Hyde.
What is it, Margaret?
I just wanted to see you, Mrs. Hyde. That's all. The hours were just rolling along, and I rang bells and knocked, and I rang bells. I was about to give up when I came to the Nesbitt's house. The house was quiet like nobody was at home. But I saw a dim, spooky light inside somewhere. So I just kept knocking and knocking. Oh.
What do you want?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Nesbitt. I only wanted to see Mrs. Nesbitt.
She's not here. She's gone to the store.
At night? Besides, it's closed today, I think.
The drugstore down on Clark Street.
Oh, well, then she ought to be back pretty quick. I'll come in and wait.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'll just sit down here and wait. I sure like this rocking chair. Go right ahead and do whatever you were doing, Mr. Nesbitt.
I wasn't doing anything.
Oh, looks like you were packing or something with all those boxes and trunks around. Going away?
No, Helen's been sorting things out, getting rid of a lot of stuff.
Oh, burning it up in the fireplace.
Yeah, that's right.
Dad always burns our junk out in the alley. Clothes smell awful when they burn.
Look, Helen may have gone on from the store to visit a friend.
Well, if she doesn't come back soon, I'll leave.
Yeah, I'll tell her you were here. What do you want to see her about?
Oh, nothing much. Hey, that's too bad.
What?
I guess you lost the key to that box. You had to break the lock.
No, it was broken already. Yeah, I bet your folks don't know where you are, kid.
No, sir. They think I'm in bed. What friend did Mrs. Nesbitt go to visit?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, hey, look, kid, I ought to tell you, she won't be back tonight.
Oh?
No. She went to the store, like I said, but she was going from there over to Beechwood to visit her mother on the bus. She'd be gone 2 or 3 days.
Oh, that's a shame.
Why?
Well, Mama was expecting Mrs. Nesbitt to come over tomorrow, maybe to sell.
Hey, you better not tell your mother. You see, it's kind of secret about Helen going away. She doesn't want people to know for a while.
Oh.
You know how to keep a secret, kid?
I guess so.
I'll give you something for not telling. I'll give you a reward. Let's see. Hey, here's something for a kid. A doll.
A doll?
Yeah. Well, Helen was going to give it to you. I heard her say when she was sorting the stuff, she said, I'll give this to the little Leary girl.
Mrs. Nesbitt always calls me Margaret.
Well, sure, that's what she said. Margaret. That's quite a doll. Old-fashioned. It's made of leather. Face is china or something, see?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Nesbitt.
It's a reward for not saying anything about Helen being gone. Understand? Now, come on. I'll snap on the porch light.
Mr. Nesbitt, did you finish your driveway?
What do you mean?
Did you get all the dirt hauled off to make it smooth?
Sure. Now, come on.
I saw your dump truck in the lot this morning and...
What do you mean? Were you in the lot this morning?
No, I was at home. I looked out the window. Please, Mr. Nesbitt, let go of my arm.
You've been playing out there today? Answer me.
Oh, don't. That hurts. I wasn't playing. It's no fun now with our fort all covered up.
The fort? What's that?
Nothing. Nothing, Mr. Nesbitt.
Tell me what you're talking about.
Nothing but that old concrete pipe.
You know something. That's why you came here. You've been snooping around that lot and you found out something. What do you know?
I don't know anything. Let me go, Mr. Nesbitt. If you don't let me go, I'll...
Ow!
There!
Come back! Hey, you come back, kid. I'll give you something else. I'll give you something else. Come back, kid. Come back.
Mr. Nesbitt yelled because I kicked and bit his hand. Then I ran, but I heard him running after me. It was dark and quiet and scary on the streets, and more scary out there in the lot. I ran straight across the place where I heard the screaming, and it was so quiet. And all of a sudden, there was a man in the lot, right in front of me.
Stop, Margaret.
Oh.
Margaret?
Oh, Daddy.
Margaret, where have you been? Do you have any idea how your mama's worried? Do you know how late it is?
Daddy, he's after me.
We've been Mr. up Nesbitt. And down alleys and clear down to Clark Street. I was about to call the police.
The screaming woman. It's Mrs. Nesbitt down there.
I'm going to give you a good licking.
Mr. Nesbitt killed her, and now he wants to kill me.
I've had all of that idiotic talk I can stand.
It's true. You've got to believe
Margaret,
me.
I'm going to lick you right now, right here. I've had enough of... What have you got there? Where did you get that doll?
Why, I gave it to O'Leary. The kid stopped by the house. I remembered Helen said she wanted to throw it away.
Helen said to throw it away?
He's lying, Dad. He gave it to me so I wouldn't tell about her. It was locked up in a box. He didn't have the key. He broke it open.
She's a high-strung kid, Leary. All the stuff she was telling me.
He's lying, Dad.
Yes, he is lying. Why are you lying, Charlie?
Lying? How do you get that, Leary?
Helen never let you have that doll. It was locked up. It was a present I gave her a long time ago. She wouldn't throw it away anymore, and I'd throw away the paperweight she gave me. Why are you lying, Charlie?
I'm not. Don't look at me that way, Leary. As God is my witness, I...
It's her. Dad, it's the screaming woman.
As God is your witness.
Leary, don't!
Margaret, run to the house. Phone the police and tell them to hurry. Tell them we've got to dig.
Hello? Hi, Dippy. Everything's fine. Everything's worked out keen. The screaming woman isn't screaming anymore. And they've got a lot of people down there digging her up.
Hey, that's swell. Hot dog.
And you know what else, Dippy? They're going to uncover our fort again. Oh, Dippy, wasn't it a keen Thanksgiving?
Thank you, Margaret O'Brien, for a splendid performance. Miss O'Brien will return in just a moment.
Oh, that Autolite Stayful Battery fable wasn't bad, coming from a fairly fabulous fibber.
Ah, but you haven't heard all of it, Hap. Why, by Cornelius, Clarissa, that's my car, spoke to me again this morning. Thanks to you, she said, and that Autolite Stayful Battery, this has been the happiest year of my life. Why, even these cruel cold mornings, I've got that Autolite pep, that Stayful Battery get up and go. Well, Clarissa, I says to my gas buggy, you're the queen of the May, the lass with the delicate air, and the pride of Wilcox Alley all in one. What do you want now, my Thanksgiving precious? And she says, just to go to sleep out in the garage once again. Why, Harlow, you can even use my Autolite Stay Full Battery for a pillow. Happy slumber and good night, everybody.
And remember,
Autolite means batteries.
Stay full batteries.
Autolite means spark plug.
Ignition engineered resistor spark plug.
Autolite means ignition systems.
The lifeline of your car.
And now here again is Miss Margaret O'Brien.
It's been just wonderful being on Suspense, and I hope you'll let me come back again sometime.
We will, Margaret. And now let me tell our listeners about next week. Claude Rains and Vincent Price in the famous mystery story, The Hands of Mr. Ottermole. Another gripping study in Suspense.
Margaret O'Brien appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor picture The Three Musketeers, starring Lana Turner, Gene Kelly, and June Allison. Tonight's Suspense play was by Ray Bradbury, adapted for radio by Sylvia Richards, with music composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as Rosalind Russell, James Cagney, Ronald Coleman, William Bendix, and many others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. And next Thursday, same time, hear Claude Rains and Vincent Price in the hands of Mr. Ottermole.
This is the Autolite Suspense Show signing off. Good night. Switch to Autolite.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Was that you at the end of the broadcast there?
That was me. 1948.
This is Autolite.
Good night.
Good night. Great job, Lisa.
Thank you. You know,
Autolite
I think I say it in
girl.
My sleep, so I'm pretty good at it.
Man,
now.
Yeah. You made a living doing that back then?
I made more money doing that than I do on this show.
Right.
Just
wow.
That one
well,
famous
its cost
line
of living is...
has definitely risen.
Yeah, that's Suspense, November 25th, 1948, The Screaming Woman, written by Ray Bradbury, starring Margaret O'Brien, along with Agnes Moorehead, as the Screaming Woman on that show. Good program, as heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that. Before we go to break, I have a question for you, Lisa.
Yes.
What do you call a turkey on the day after Thanksgiving?
Spoiled?
Lucky.
Oh, I got one for you, a quick
you do?
One.
You have one
really
for
fast,
me?
Okay?
You have a joke for me?
What did the mother turkey say to her disobedient children?
I don't know.
If your father could see you now, he'd turn over in his gravy.
Nice, Lisa. You might have a career
with
doing some stand-up
then
as well.
Again.